The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
You know, he can hit a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start by him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killabrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. As an early start to everything here today, as there's a football game in downtown Detroit. They had a hockey game last night. There was a concert in the middle of the baseball game the other day. A lot going on in the Motor City. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris here in studio. Paul Molitor in Detroit. It is day four in Detroit, Paul, and it feels like you guys have been there for about a month already. Does it feel that way to you? You guys are about two-thirds of the way through this road trip.
Yeah, well, good morning to you guys. If this seems like a month, New York seemed like two. It was. It's been, you know, a tough trip to wind down your season when you get an 11-day trip that you're faced with. But it's been good. You know, we didn't get the results we wanted playing the Yankees, and we found our way back onto the winning side of things here in Detroit so far, including a nice comeback win last night, and would be really, really helpful to our cause if we could find a way to go out there today and try to finish off the sweep.
Paul, before we get to Detroit, let's talk a little bit about that series in New York. You know, is there a silver lining? You played a team that the odds are real good that you're going to play in their house for the first round of the playoffs, the wild card game. Is there an advantage of playing them this time of year fresh in your mind, knowing that every game you played was a close one?
Well, I hope so, Jack. You know, if we get to that point and we have that opportunity, you know, it's a one-game shot, and we all know the unpredictableness of a one-game showdown, if you will. But I think that our guys going in there, you know, I think that it would be fair to say that it did have an effect on some of our guys playing on that type of stage. And if we can get a chance to play in that game, that these guys hopefully will have a little better feel of the environment and what to expect. But, yeah, we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there.
I know you're not one to look ahead, and I understand that. You've got a week of baseball left, and it's important that you play every game to its fullest until you get that piece of paper, I guess sure. You would say, that says you're in the postseason. But with that being said, I think you're in a good position, at least right now, to have a little breathing room and allow yourself at least a look into how to set up your rotation. I would imagine you would like to have Irvin Santana start that game if possible.
Well, I've kind of stayed away from the phrase of, you know, you control your own destiny type of thing, just because with there are so many games involved and the way these things can turn in a matter of a couple of days, you're very hesitant to go down that route. But you know, the way it's unfolded here the past 3 days and us winning and spreading it out a little bit, you know, we have a chance to go out there and try to win some games this week and put ourselves in that position that we've been talking about for a long time. You know, we're looking at our pitching going forward, including the off day tomorrow, to try to set ourselves up if we get that point, and that would be the way that I would think would give us the best chance if we could get Irvin on the mound for that game if we get there.
Now, one thing about this series in Detroit, Paul, a lot of stuff going on with the Tigers, obviously, with the announcement about Osmussen's future or lack thereof. And I think one thing that Danny, of all people, brought up following one of the first two games of the series, your club has done a tremendous job of worrying only about what's going on in your dugout, not what's going on in Detroit's dugout or Anaheim's dugout or anybody else's dugout. I know that's something that you have stressed with your coaching staff, but are you pleased with the way your mostly young group has stayed focused on themselves as opposed to getting caught up in what other teams are doing?
Well, you know, to be honest, it's almost impossible to be you know, ignorant of other things that are unfolding and other teams that are involved with these races. But the best we can, we've tried to get these guys to, you know, try to stay present and worry about what you can control, and that means going out there and try to win our games. You know, we had a little small chat after the Yankee series, just as far as perspective and where we were and what we needed to focus on. And you're never guaranteed that that's going to be part of the reason you go on to play better or win some games, but it's been a real nice rebound from, you know, three tough games out there to come back here and win. So I think for the most part, our guys are understanding that, hey, you know, we have our games, and that should be our first priority.
That's the voice of Paul Molitor, manager of the Minnesota Twins. They'll go for a four-game sweep of the Tigers coming up later this morning here Central Time, as they'll try to make it four straight over Detroit, try to go to 4-3 on the road trip, and nick away at that magic number, which currently stands at four. We'll return with more of the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killer Brew Root Beer, made in Minnesota, where legends are made and legends are born. Some of the legends right here on this program. We're back in a moment on your home for Twins baseball.
This is Paul Molitor. You're listening to the Alternative Channel at 96.3, your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to another edition of the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killer Brew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Twins trying to create some memories for their fans with a strong finish here as they look to forge on into postseason play. And Paul, I want to get back to last night, and I know it's early, and you probably haven't had a chance to speak with him today, but Max Kepler's health. Obviously, Max was really starting to swing the bat. Couple of home runs against lefties. He's a big part of what you've been doing all year long. Had to leave the game early last night. Do we know anything more about how he's feeling and how that might impact his ability to be in your lineup?
Well, he's pretty sore today. Kind of an odd injury, and trying to make a play and make a throw. I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to hold him out for a long time, but I am going to hold him out today, given the fact we're off tomorrow, and hopefully he responds to treatment and feels good enough to get back in the lineup when we get to Cleveland. But I don't think it's anything that's major. I'm sure he's going to try to do a little bit today to see where he's at once he gets treated, and we'll see if he's available possibly later in the game today.
Paul, speaking of that, talk a little bit about the rest of your guys. Everybody else ready to go, the bullpen and all the pitchers?
Well, we've been fortunate. We've got a couple of nice long outings the last few nights, and that can really replenish here, bullpen. Even when you have 14 people, we all know that there's guys that you'd like to have available when you have a chance to win games, and we've been able to keep those guys relatively fresh, given the fact we've endured a six-game stretch here to start this trip. So, Jose out there today. Hopefully, he's can follow suit and get us deep in the game, and we can find a way to win another one here to finish off this series.
Let's talk a little bit about young Jose Berríos. He's kind of getting into uncharted waters in terms of where we are in the season, Paul. And the one thing that's odd with him is, here's a guy who's a great student. He keeps himself in a fantastic shape. He's very focused. And yet, for whatever reason, his home road splits are crazy this year in an odd way. Is that just a coincidence? Has he run into hot teams away from home? Or is there something either mentally or physically that you're seeing that's different in his performances from Target Field to the road?
Well, I would say that it's a little bit of both. I think the coincidence aspect plays to some degree, particularly when these numbers start to separate from home and away. But after a while, you know, you're made aware of it, and maybe subconsciously you start to make a bigger deal of it than you probably should. If you want to compare it to our team collectively, we had a not very good start at home this year, yet we are a really good road team, and somehow that's balanced itself out over the course of the season as well. So, you know, anytime he's out there, he's capable of going out there and spinning up a good game. We know that with his stuff. And, a relatively short outing in New York, I'm hoping he's fresh today and is able to go out there and do some of the things that we know he's capable of.
With Jose in particular, you talked about it after his last start. The velocity certainly was there. You described the ball as really jumping. Is he more effective when he ticks back a little on the velocity at this stage of his career in terms of his command than when he's just rearing back and letting it fly?
I think that, you know, it can play when your arm's fresh and you feel like you got a little extra, but you still have to pitch. You know, and watching Irvin, you know, I think he's learned that certain days when your arm feels really good and you can go ahead and you have a little in the tank when you need to make that big pitch in any given situation. But even Irvin last night, you know, he didn't have maybe his best fastball in terms of velocity, if you want to look at that. But he knew, you know, he was pitching. You know, he had a little rough start, but he got settled in and had a really nice run until he made the one mistake on the changeup that got taken deep on. But, yeah, I think Jose understands that he's better off trying to get the ball in a good spot consistently rather than trying to rear back and blow guys away.
Speaking of pitching, you made reference in the media about Bartolo Colon, a couple rough outings as of late, and maybe switching him around a little bit as we approach the end of the season.
it's one of those things. He's given us a lot of really good games, and I think two of the last three have been a little bit on the opposite side of that. And, you know, but I still trust him. I'm not going to get crazy and try to, you know, twist this thing around too much. So tentatively, right, I have it set up for him to get the first game in Cleveland and possibly a game next weekend against the Tigers. And I think that's the right way to go. We are going to, at least for now, probably bump up Irvin to pitch the last game in Cleveland and flip Gibson back to the Tiger series and give Irvin a chance if we're able to advance.
All right, that's Paul Molitor. It is the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Take a break. Back with more in a moment on your home for Twins baseball. This is Chris Atterbury, and you're listening to the Paul Molitor Show on Go 96.3. Welcome back to another segment here. It's the Paul Molitor Show. It's an early morning. We're all scattered around as the schedule's off a little bit with a very busy day in downtown Detroit. The part the Twins are focusing on, trying to complete a four-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers and nick away at that magic number. This time of year, Paul, you mentioned it. It's impossible not to know what's going on in other games and leads and things of that nature. As a player, I think you could sense a chance to be in the postseason, and you guys are both experienced enough to know that those chances can't be taken for granted because you never know if you're going to get another one. As a manager now in the dugout where you don't get to go affect it with your play, do you feel it as well? Do you smell that that gold ring at the end of this long, long race? And are you able to translate, I guess, to your young team how rare those opportunities are?
I think that with each day that gets ticked off the calendar, particularly here in the last week, and you find yourself, you know, remaining in a position to go ahead and accomplish your goal, it becomes a little bit more challenging to, you know, just, hey, let's go out and win today type of mindset. I think we're trying to do that the best we can. You know, we've obviously gotten some help from a couple of teams here the last few days that have, you know, kind of opened up the lead a little bit here. But the reality is, seven games, you know, there's some great stories in baseball history about leads that were lost in the last week. So, you know, I'm just going to remind these guys, you can't take anything for granted. And it's just play it out until someone gives you a cap and a T-shirt and says you can go celebrate. So we got some work to do. There's no doubt about that.
Paul, we talked a little bit last week about timing of off days late in the year, and certainly tomorrow's off day in Cleveland will be probably a look forward to because it gives everybody a chance to restart. But I've got to believe that having the chance to go into postseason compared to a couple seasons as of late that a lot of these young guys have gone through shortens the season for them. It makes it so much more meaningful, and that they've got to have a little bit more giddy up in their step going to the ballpark every day.
As a player, Jack, and you know, being a part of the race a couple of years ago, I think you can, you know, obviously notice that there's an uptick in energy and adrenaline and the excitement in the dugout that surrounds that first pitch every night. You go through your routine that you always do, your BP, your cage work, your preparation, training room, whatever it is, but everyone anticipates getting these games underway. And it's special, you know, the opportunity aspect. You know, you don't know how often or how frequently you're going to be in that position. And, you know, you want to take advantage when you can, because we all know you can go through periods where it doesn't come along very often, which the Twins have experienced here over the past 7 years or so.
As the season goes, you as the manager, do you have more one-on-one talks right now? Do you have team meetings, or do you just let them go, and hoping that they've all grasped the importance of it all?
I've had a lot less meetings this year than last year, and I've kind of tried to stay away because I have a lot of confidence in our player leadership. There's been times when I've had to step out there, I think, and including the other day after the Yankee series. But for the most part, I think that you kind of try to regulate the pulse the best you can and determine, you know, when maybe a word might be helpful or encouraging, or if nothing else, you know, give these guys a little bit better way to look at things. And the one-on-ones, they're ongoing throughout the whole year. You know, you're always looking for little times or places where, you know, somebody might be, you know, hanging their head a little bit, or their body language is off, or the results haven't been there. And you just try to find that word that will pick somebody up and get them back on track. There's no magic to it, but I think that's an important part of trying to be a good leader, is that you're aware of what's going on with each and every guy in that clubhouse.
Yeah, speaking of leadership, and you've been very upfront since the day you were hired that you needed a parallel track. You needed people in the clubhouse who weren't staff, who were players, to be part of the leadership of a club. And this year, time and time again, it seems to come back. Yes, you've added some guys like a Matt Belisle, what he does with your bullpen, some other veterans, but Joe Mauer's name keeps coming back in almost every conversation along these lines. He's had a great year on the field in terms of his performance, and he's always been kind of taking a rap from fans for not being a guy who's fiery and is blowing up water coolers and whatnot. Yeah. But can you possibly explain to people what he means inside that clubhouse to this team?
Well, it's been fun to watch him play this year in particular. I think that, you know, the consistency aspect of his game, just unruffled, no matter whether he's in a hot streak or a cold streak. The way he goes about it, he runs every ball out. He's prepared to play, and you know, he's been a leader in our post game meetings numerous times, where his voice, I think, resonates with a lot of guys. It might not be that fiery voice, but it's one of calm and perspective, and I think guys respond to that. I do think adding some of the other leadership characteristics to our team, some of the guys that we targeted last winter that have come in here have impacted us in a positive light, whether it's Castro, kind of our quiet leader behind the plate, and Jimenez a little bit more fiery, and Belisle just one of those guys that I think everyone marvels at, of not only how he takes care of himself, but the attitude that he brings to our team every day. So that's important. There's no doubt about it. Last couple of years ago, we were fortunate when Torrey came back. He provided a lot of spark in that regard, and we've done well in that capacity this year for sure.
Paul, I want to add to what we were talking about. We talked a little bit about the players and their attitudes and feelings as they approach possible postseason, the fact that there's a little more energy. But I want to talk about the two guys that are your bosses, Derek and Thad. You know, you're in meetings with them every day almost, and you talk to them. Do you sense that they have a little more jump in their step as they look forward to postseason?
Well, they're excited like all of us, you know, for them to come over here and you know, do their evaluating, obviously put their fingerprints all over the things that we're trying to do, and, you know, layering us out in terms of more resources and some of the information that they feel is important to run a club on a day-to-day basis. It's been fun. You know, Derek's on this trip, and so, you know, he's in here quite a bit. These guys are hands-on. You know, we're in conversations, as you mentioned, Jack, you know, almost on a daily basis. There's some periods, obviously, where they're not traveling and you're kind of separated to some degree. But communication has been very consistent. And, you know, I would have to imagine without having asked them that they're very excited about the season and the potential that we have moving forward.
That's Paul Molitor. We've got one final segment, a quick one when we return on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to our final segment of the Paul Molitor Show. This is the penultimate Paul Molitor Show. We got one final one next week. We'll have to do it without Jack as he heads off to his national postseason duties. And Paul, we mentioned Max earlier in the show, but lineup-wise, you've been riding your horses. You got an off day tomorrow, more of the same today. Or do you have another great move up your sleeve where you pinch run a guy so that he can hit a home run in the same inning?
You know, you make moves, and sometimes they're a little bit challenging in terms of timing. You know, taking Joe Mauer of a game at any point is always a little bit risky. It was just one of those situations where we got the hit and Granite was able to score, and I felt good about it after the result. To be honest with you, when his turn came back around in the same inning, I had options to go ahead and put up a right-handed bat against a left-handed pitcher and decided to leave Zach in there for his defense, and he hits a homer. So, you know, you can't predict when those things are going to unfold. Today, I'm going to DH Joe. Kenny's going to get a chance to play first base. Granite's going to be back out there playing left field today with Rosie flipping over to right. And Castro's going to be behind the plate again. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things we had to make a little adjustment with Kep being not available, at least to start. And hopefully we find a way to keep scoring some runs here in this ballpark, which we've done very well offensively the first three games.
It leads into my last question to you, Paul, is, you know, a lot of times you don't have the luxury of how the last week of the season goes towards a potential chance at postseason. And the fact that there have been times where teams have wrapped it up so early that they can play games the last week, rest guys. And I've seen fault in that, where guys got too much rest. Do you have any thoughts on how you would ideally like this season to go as far as the rest, the last week of the season, and how much rest everybody gets?
Well, I'm, you know, it's probably way back on the, you know, the last burner in your brain that you're thinking about having a chance to rest guys sometimes later on, because your consummation is about trying to win and get someone to tell you that you're going to a playoff game. So, you know, we've had some guys that have been, you know, called upon in terms of very heavy and workload here the past 2 or 3 weeks in particular. I agree that there are times when teams clinch early and they maybe lose a little bit of sharpness. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. But if we're afforded that luxury, I'm going to try to at least protect a couple of guys moving forward.
All right. Well, you'll move forward today with the final game of this four-game series. It's going to be Jose Barrios and Buck Farmer. It's been a great series so far in Detroit. You even got Jack to utter words, Paul, I thought I'd never hear, which was looking forward to an off day in Cleveland. I've never heard him say that. I've known the guy a long time, and I've never heard him say that.
Well, that's because I'm not on the trip.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, you are on the trip. Enjoy the game today, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this time.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it. Have
Thanks,
a good
Paul.
Sunday.
All right, that's Paul Molitor. And Jack, your last one. It's been fun, as always, and let's hope there's a whole lot more baseball for the Twins.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that I get to talk about the Minnesota Twins here in a couple weeks. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome for everybody. For Jack and Paul, I'm Chris. This has been another edition of the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killamer Root Beer, right here on your home for Twins Baseball.